Colleagues, we have about 11 minutes before the next time certain, and I propose that we marshal forward and we do item number 66. Carla, would you please read the item?
Amend regulations for marijuana businesses to include laboratories and research certificate holders and clarify directors' authority to determine violations.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, President Fish. This is a change to the code we adopted this past September to include two additional types of marijuana businesses that are going to be licensed by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. These two types of businesses were not previously on the state list, and so we are adding marijuana labs and research certificate holders. It's a minor code change that could have been on the consent agenda. I thought that both the council and the community might be interested in where we are with the marijuana licensing program, and so I put it on the regular agenda so that Teresa Marchetti and Victor Salinas from the Office of Neighborhood Involvement can give us a brief update on both the fairly minor code amendment and also the process so far. So, Teresa Marchetti.
Thank you, Commissioner, City Council. For the record, my name is Teresa Marchetti. I'm the Livability Programs Manager for the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, and I'm here with our Marijuana Policy Program Coordinator, Victor Salinas, who will give a brief summary of the amendment.
Good morning. Again, for the record, my name is Victor Salinas, Program Coordinator for the Marijuana Policy Program through the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. Thank you for your time in presenting amendments, proposed amendments to the Marijuana Code. So the Oregon Liquor Control Commission has requested local government review of two additional business types and their licensing process. So those licenses are for laboratories and research certificate holders, as Commissioner Fritz mentioned. By adding these two to our code definitions, that would allow us to expand on our ability to be able to evaluate these locations for minimum requirements as passed by Council on September 30th, 2015. These proposed amendments before you also adds, we propose that we add a regulatory fee or a review fee of $250 to recover the cost of the land use compatibility review required as part of the application process for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. In addition, we also request that we incorporate a technical fix to the language on 14B.130.100. This simply clarifies the city's ability to address the unlicensed illegal marijuana market within the city of Portland through code enforcement. Are there any questions about the proposed amendments?
Shall we continue with the rest of our summary, or do you have a question about the amendment?
Yeah, finish the summary.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your time. So the focus of the program continues to be to develop policy with robust public involvement to integrate the emerging marijuana industry into the Portland landscape. As we continue to move into and transition into the implementation of the licensing and regulatory framework, we hosted two workshops in November aimed at helping applicants navigate the city's application process with over 400 attendees. We've been working closely in partnership with partnering agencies, bureaus, and listening to industry representatives in order to be able to be responsive to applicant concerns while upholding the established city code. As a result, we've modified the application requirements to streamline the application process. Since October of 2015, we've fielded hundreds of calls through the Marijuana Information and Complaint Hotline to address concerns and questions regarding the new marijuana laws and providing information on how to navigate the application process. Here's a brief summary, and there's a slide up above with some information on where we are with the implementation. We've so far gone through 282 intake appointments to date for marijuana regulatory licenses. In those, we began accepting applications for medical dispensaries qualifying under the grandfather clause as of December 1st, 2015. We received 78 applications to date that are applying under the grandfather clause. We also established an intake appointment lottery, which was conducted from November 23rd to December 11th, 2015, to receive applications for medical dispensaries not applying to the grandfather clause, as well as recreational retailers, producers, processors, and wholesalers. Of those, 166 applicants signed up through the lottery. 32 applicants submitted for applications for producer, processor, and wholesalers to date. 116 applicants signed up for the medical dispensary, recreational marijuana retailer lottery, and those appointments will be assigned starting the first week in February. For those that did not make it through the lottery process, we also provided an opportunity to sign up for an intake appointment that would backtrack in a little bit. That intake appointment simply allows us to do a quick review of the application to make sure the application materials are all in order in order for the applicant to submit their application. Of those, 32 applicants signed up to submit applications for producer, processor, and wholesaler licenses through the 7th of January, and another 18 have signed up that will be assigned appointments over the next 2 weeks. 45 applicants signed up to submit applications for recreational marijuana retailer licenses, and 16 for medical dispensaries, those that don't qualify under the grandfather clause. To date, we received $92,050 in application fees, and licensing fees will be received upon license issuance.
Can I just ask a general question?
Absolutely.
Are we seeing concentrations of applications in certain parts of the city, number one? And number two, we had some concerns when we last took this up, primarily last year, from some folks who felt that with our anti-concentration rule and the timing of certain licensing, that they may be put out of business. Can you tell us whether there were any existing businesses that were forced to close their doors because of the concentration rule? And then generally, where are these businesses choosing to locate?
Commissioner Fish, so to answer your first question, it's too early to tell at this point whether or not we're seeing any kind of concentration of retail applications. We are still currently processing the existing dispensary licenses and populating those on the map, and we'll have a better idea come mid-February whether or not we're seeing more applications for one part of the city than another. As to your second question, I think that the policies that were implemented as of September 30th have gone a long way in addressing that concern that we heard from industry. As we said, we've received 78 applications under that grandfather clause, so the vast majority of existing businesses are not going to have to close their doors. If there are conflicts because of the anti-concentration policy, we will also begin to see those more as we get into February.
Now, just one comment about concentration. I've lived in cities where they changed their zoning code in response to concerns about concentration of adult use establishments. People didn't want to see combat zones in effect. The thing about adult use establishments is once upon a time they used to have neon signs, garish displays, and things so that you kind of knew if there was an adult use establishment in your backyard. I find the new marijuana dispensary is much harder to figure out because they often have a sign that has a green component, and I'm never sure whether it's an environmental business or it's a pro-green something or whether it's marijuana. So it's more discreet, in other words. Of course, you live in the area and you're seeing a lot of foot traffic and car traffic, but it's harder to identify the businesses just from the outside.
That's a good observation. The rules for advertisement are still in development at the state level with both the OHA and the OLCC. I do think that there's been a peer-to-peer movement on the part of industry to be responsible in that manner, and we really appreciate that from the city.
Other questions from my colleagues? Carla, has anyone signed up to testify?
Yes, we have one person, Charles Johnson.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, commissioners. I want to thank Commissioner Fritz and especially the staff and also marijuana industry entrepreneurs who have invested a lot of time in helping to move forward on this issue. I do think that it would be better if we could more often talk about the hopefully positive revenue impacts, not necessarily through our local controls, but hopefully, like Colorado, the Washington State situation is less clear. This will, you know, in reality, we're talking about some sin taxing, which I'm not in favor of, but we have some expenses we need to face. We have all these marijuana businesses are going to be opening on streets where homeless people sleep. So since we've chosen to regulate and still stick a little bit with a sin tax model, part of that is not your issue, it's a state issue. I would hope that when we talk about the nitty-gritty of this regulation, we can also talk about how questionable things like sin taxes can be redeemed into ending homelessness, going beyond just the Sears shelter and the New Peace shelter, and also using some of this revenue to bring truly affordable subsidized housing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Well, thank you, colleagues, for your support of this emergency ordinance. Thanks to Teresa Marchetti and Victor Salinas and the whole team at the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. I find myself somewhat surprised to be relishing the role of marijuana queen in Portland. It's nice to be able to learn from the mistakes that have been made over time with the liquor program, which Teresa, of course, having managed that program for a long time, is very well aware of. It's important to note that the 25% tax, which is currently in effect, is all going to the state for setting up their program. Our application fees and license fees will be entirely covering the cost of the program within the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. I believe we're not allowed to use it for revenue generation. So after we get all of the first wave of licensing done, I will be returning to council so that we can have a conversation with the community about whether we want to refer the 3% tax to the voters that we're allowed to do by state law. Or whether we want to go with our previous 10% tax that we passed before the ballot measure passed, or not do either. So those are all options that will be on the table. In the meantime, I'm very proud of the staff for the way that this program has been implemented, the careful handling of applications in very fair order, a couple of glitches here and there, but by and large, it's gone really well. And I also appreciate security staff in City Hall and all of the workers who work in City Hall who've been very gracious in accommodating our use of the atrium for the application. So thank you very much, colleagues. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I'm in a little awkward position. I, with all due respect to Teresa Marchetti, Victor Salinas, Commissioner Fritz, I did vote against the city's regulatory program as I feel it's wholly unnecessary given the substantial regulation already in place by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission and the Oregon Health Authority. So to be consistent, I should vote against these amendments, but this is an emergency ordinance, and it won't pass unless I vote for it today. So I just wanted to note I continue to be against the city regulatory program at all, but I will vote for these amendments today so that the business can get on. Aye.
Thank you.
Novick.
I have to say, I'm surprised it hasn't been in Portlandia yet, that when you walk into City Hall, the first thing you see are signs about marijuana. I really appreciate all the work that Teresa and Victor have done. You've done a ton of the work in a very short time period, and I'm glad that we and our fellow citizens can always count on you to give us the straight dope in the marijuana program. Aye.
Oh, my God.
Fish.
Commissioner Fritz, thanks for all the work you've done in leading our efforts at the city to regulate this new industry. Teresa and Victor, thank you for your excellent presentations to council. And I think this is the first time in 7 years a colleague has extended the courtesy of voting for a matter he or she may have objected to, but stating an objection, but voting for it so as not to defeat the emergency clause. So we'll forever call this the Saltzman courtesy rule. And we will invoke it the next time we need another colleague, Dan, to step up and do the same thing. Thank you. Please to vote aye. The matter passes.